Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. At freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. That's social.freetalklive.com. And with you in the studio on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And tonight we have been kind of riffing and going off about why homeschooling is just so much better than public school. We haven't even gotten into this article yet by the Foundation for Economic Education saying that a robust education marketplace means some schools will fail. And is that terrifying and bad?
Not necessarily. I mean, failure, like businesses, you know, when a business fails and people lose their jobs, people are distraught. But that's the free market's way of cleansing itself of businesses that shouldn't be there.
It's like you have a house plant. You love your house plant. You don't want it to die. Then you want to pull off all the dead leaves.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave them there.
Absolutely, yeah. Or else it'll kill the rest of the plant. And that's exactly what's happening, especially with public schools, since this is what is teaching and educating the future generations, and that's why we're at a point right now where, and I do think it is a purposeful thing to make people, just to be blunt, dumb, easy to control, mm-hmm. cogs in the machine.
NPCs.
But yeah, that's like what we're seeing. I mean, like 1 in 5 people statistically, 1 in 5 high school graduates are functionally illiterate, and, you know, so...
Then they're also enumerate. That's the equivalent in mathematics when they can't do simple arithmetic like addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Mm-hmm.
That's probably rising so hard with the advent of Common Core, because that makes no sense to me. Common Core is so confusing. It's much more confusing than normal math. It's like, which of these 5 answers is the correct answer? All 5 of them are correct, by the way. It's made up.
Because to me, math, black and white.
Yeah.
There's a right and there is a wrong.
And there's something almost nice about that to a lot of kids. Like, TJ is a mathematician, so probably when you were in school and math was your favorite subject, there was something you liked about getting the answer, right?
Well, I was never any good at throwing a ball or running. And so math and computer science was the one thing I excelled at and was very, very good at it. And not just very good at it, but I also put a lot of time and effort into research or to studying those topics because I was fascinated by them. And in hindsight, I really don't think I needed public school because the one thing you learn in public school is how your life would suck without the government. The government is without the government, your life would be total hell, and that, you know, they do everything that's important in life.
Yeah, well, there's the indoctrination, right?
That's the indoctrination. And so public school, I think about it, and 13 years of my life was spent there, and they dropped $250,000 on my public school education, $25,000 a year times, you know, 13 years, more or less, so $325,000.
I firmly believe that most of the useful skills I have and most of, like, the knowledge, like, the useful knowledge that I have and that I, have currently retained, I taught myself after I left high school.
Right. Or even like during high school, but like on your off at time.
Yeah.
Like who was it recently that was talking about how, I was having a conversation with just one of my neighbors and we were talking about like the indoctrination socially that we went through in public school and how since I was homeschooled kindergarten to third grade, which I would say, I just kind of noticed it. It's like the other kids were like fish in water. They don't recognize they're in the water. So they're like, they're just playing out their programming socially. And I could notice it and be like, why are they acting this way? Not like judging them. I wasn't like some kind of like savant or something. It's just something I was able to notice that they couldn't, like the way that they interacted with each other. And my neighbor I was talking to when I said that, he said he always felt like a summer break when he came back, it was like a reset. So he could kind of start to notice like the new social programming the other kids have picked up on and were acting out. It's like you learn when you're forced to just be in this environment of all kids your age to act a very strange way.
And Colin pointed that out. He said it's very artificial because nowhere else in our lives do we interact with people who are just all our same age.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the store, you got people who are older, you got people who are younger.
Yeah,
and work.
Work, people who are older, people who are younger. And so, like, learning how to interact with different age groups is very important, a skill set to learn. And I think that's destroyed by public school, by teaching everybody in the 10th grade has to learn the same thing, whether they're gifted or whether they're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I lost my train of thought. Oh, well, anyway.
But no, that is so true. And, you know, with a lot of these, there's, like, unschooling style schools, like there's the Shrewsbury School in Massachusetts, which is like the famous one. But essentially, like, so they have that like one room schoolhouse vibe where, you know, the kids have a lot more freedom and there's a lot of age mixing. And what they've noticed in that school in particular is, and Peter Gray talks about this in his unschooling book, but what they notice is the older kids will find like a younger kid to essentially mentor. And it's just a natural phenomenon that happens. Like older kids, they like, a lot of them probably have younger siblings. They like interacting with the younger siblings. Younger kids look up to older kids. They have so much to teach them. And even within those relationships, children, young and older, are able to learn so much more and have so much more of a robust education. And then there's also, you know, like when you have a bunch of 16-year-olds all in the same class, you're going to have the kids that aren't learning as fast. Like you're going to have like the lower percentages of the kids that aren't getting it as quickly, aren't grasping the concepts that are being taught as quickly. And then you have the kids who get it right away and are super bored in the class. So when you're age mixing, it gives the kids that are kind of falling behind, it gives them more time to catch up naturally without having to rush through concepts and just not never learn them and not understand them.
And who, if you're, like, falling behind, you're failing class, who wants to go to the teacher and be like, I don't get this?
Yeah,
like,
it's
instead
embarrassing.
Of, like, somebody that's just, like, a few years older than you and you're like, hey, well, you get this.
Well. And Ron Paul talks about this in his book where, where it's better for someone, so like say if I just took a college course on like whatever, I just took Algebra 1, right? It's easier for me to teach if Bonnie's taking Algebra 1 now and she's like, I'm really not getting this. It is more efficient and easier for me to teach Bonnie Algebra 1 because I just learned that material for the first time. A teacher who knows well beyond Algebra 1 and has been, yeah, they've been teaching Algebra 1 for a long time, but it's easy. Like, I know I have that empathy because it was just last semester or just last month, whatever, I was learning Algebra 1 for the first time. So it's so much easier for me to teach those concepts to you.
Like fresh in your brain.
And it's like I remember what it took for me to learn those concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of value in that as well. And that's like part of the tutoring model where you have same age or similar age peers versus like this hierarchy of like adult teaching children.
Yeah.
Of course, people ask me, like, why learn mathematics? I say, well, why learn anything? And I like to point out that unlike money, silver, gold, other tangible property, when you put knowledge in your head, the government can't steal it from you.
Hmm.
So if you learn...
Just like when you put 24 words in your head.
Yeah, if you put 24 words for your seed phrase in your head, then you got the keys to all your wallets, your Bitcoin wallets.
Instead of carrying a giant Santa Claus sack of gold on your back.
Yeah, exactly.
But go ahead about math. Sorry, I derailed you there. Why learn math?
Why learn anything? Well, if you put it in your head, the government can't steal it from you. So if you learn how to cut a tree down with a chainsaw, that's a skill you'll always have, and you'll be able to use it to make money if you so choose. So I like to tell young kids, like, why do we learn this math stuff? I say, well, so you can tell when people are lying to you. And it makes it very easy if you're good at math. You can tell when the car salesman is like, well, you can afford this nice, you know, I think we're so used to people lying with words that we know they do it, but it's very rare that people are able to lie with numbers. And if you're good with numbers, you can spot the lie in the contract.
That's a great point. I never thought of it that way, but it is true. Matt, my husband, is a little bit quicker on his feet when it comes to numbers than I am. And he'll be able to do like certain math like that, like percentages, really quickly in his head compared to me. So if we were, you know, in a similar, like, we're buying a car, he would be able to be like, no, that's not, like, he would be able to spot the lie in a situation like that.
The financing chart where they
yeah. Like, he'd be able to pick that out quicker than I would be. Like, I would have to, like, think about it and, like, maybe, like, pull out a calculator or something or a little piece of paper and a pencil.
Learning a lot of different subjects, not just math, is that is often the benefit, is because you know something instead of having to rely on somebody else to, like, to trust them that they're not lying to you about whatever the subject is.
Yeah, that's true freedom.
Well, you know it now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and there's this like weird thing. I saw this like comedy skit, but it was very true where this guy was like, before COVID, doing your own research was just like known as reading. You know what I mean? It wasn't like this big thing where you're like going against the experts and like, how dare you? Like, what do you think? You're a doctor? You're a scientist? And it's like, no, before it was just researching. Like, it was just a more of a normal thing to do. It wasn't like this big deal, right? And I think that's so true. And I think there is a lot of power in not just blindly trusting the quote unquote experts and actually looking into things for yourself and just learning any sort of skills, reading books, listening to podcasts. Like, I think there's a lot of value that we can get from people who aren't necessarily, like, scholars. That, you know, like, you don't need a master's degree or, like, a, you know, you don't need a doctorate from Harvard to be able to teach somebody something. And I think that's complete crap to pretend that, like, we can't learn anything from, I mean, like, I learn stuff from children, you know what I mean? Like, you can learn stuff in so many different situations.
To take it back to homeschooling, I think that a lot of people think they can't homeschool their kids because they, like you said, they think they're unqualified, but it's really the root cause is that there is this learned helplessness in society that's really, really bad to the point that, like, people think, oh, I could never do X, Y, and Z. Like, I used to just think I could never cut my hair. Like, I have to go to somebody to get my hair cut, even though, like, I don't necessarily want a crazy cut. I want just the ends trimmed off. Now, I did that today just because one day I was like, no, I want to learn that. I just started doing it myself. And for whatever reason, I used to think that was something I could never do. Like, I would have to be, like, born talented or go to school for it. Like, I don't really think of other things that way, but there are just some things. In, like, now, if the grid goes down, I'll be able to cut my hair because I know how to do it.
Well, there's a lot of outsourcing that happens, and I think people in general used to be a lot more self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
It was less than 100 years ago, and people were growing the majority of their own food in their backyard. Like, farming, local farming was much bigger. Instead of going to a grocery store, you would go to your neighbor's house, and, you know, if my neighbors have cows and I have an abundant vegetable garden, I'm trading you cucumbers for milk or whatever. Like, that used to be more of a thing where, like, within our communities and just even at home, like, we were a lot more self-sufficient. And people just started outsourcing more and more and more with healthcare, with food, with water, with electricity, with clothing, with haircuts, like everything. Like, we pretty much used to do all of that
and
ourselves.
And I need a license for everything, including
haircuts. Yeah, like, imagine needing a license to cut somebody's hair or do their nails. Like, that's insane.
It's stupid.
It's insane.
It's just so stupid. I don't understand. But so as we were talking about, when something fails in a free market, it's actually a good thing. It just means the market didn't value it and something new can take its place. This from the Freedom... The fee stands for Freedom Economic... Wait, what the heck?
The Foundation
for Economic Education, fee.org. A robust education marketplace means some schools will fail. A couple of years ago, this is Carrie McDonald, was presenting at a small education conference in New York when someone asked what a success indicator might be for a dynamic, decentralized education marketplace. When we see some schools shutting down, I responded. In an education free market, parents are the customers. If they are not satisfied with a particular school's offerings, they can and will leave, just as they would stop using any other product or service that doesn't meet their expectations. If enough parents aren't satisfied and leave, the school will shut down. This is a signal of a vibrant, competitive educational marketplace. It is the ultimate accountability metric. And of course, like, this is just me talking now, if every school shut down, that would be a bad thing. It's just that people have, like, that connotation with businesses and things shutting down. They just imagine, oh, wait, everything's going to shut down. We're going to lose all schools. No. It's like, if your whole plant was dying, yeah, that's bad. If a couple leaves are dying, you just pull them off.
Well, that's the thing. It's a new opportunity.
Right.
That's how I see it. It's a new opportunity.
And somebody will take that if you let them.
You can imagine any other product where no matter how bad the quality of the product is, you're still forced to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great if you're going to a public school where the teachers are motivated and well-paid and the classrooms aren't dilapidated and running down. But
sometimes they are, and you're still forced to pay for it.
Yeah, and so if you can't, can you imagine teachers who don't want to teach and you can't fire them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just what do you think is going to happen?
That is exactly what it is. Like, Nikki and I talk all the time about how there are these videos of public school teachers saying, I didn't realize that I'm going to be making minimum wage, and I do all this. I do this and this and this and this, and I don't make that much money. Okay, like, that would terrify me if that was my kid's teacher, because I would just know that they don't care. They're like, ugh, I don't get paid enough for this all day. They're not, trying their hardest. And that's their own fault, but we could get into that another time.
Yeah, in my opinion, and this sounds mean, but in my opinion, public school teachers are just glorified babysitters.
Yeah, they are.
I've thought about getting my public school teaching license and teaching here in Keene, teaching the high school kids, and I could go into the belly of the beast and
take pictures at the playground.
Undercover.
No. Nine through 12, thank you very much. Although ninth grade would be kind of like, ew, but, once they get to be about 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, that's...
What would you want to do undercover?
I would want to say, hey, the government's lying to you.
I had a teacher like that.
Yeah.
And one, ever.
Yeah. And so I'd do my best to say, look, pass the test if you want. Don't pass the test if you want. I want you to try your hardest, but, let's be honest, algebra, it's great to know, but I can't think of a single instance where I've been out in the supermarket or the car repair place and the guy said, hey, can you solve the quadratic equation for me?
Yeah.
That's just never happened. So all that algebra and trigonometry and calculus I learned, I'm glad I learned it, but I don't use it on a daily basis.
The other thing I think, but I don't really know, it is just a lot of stuff is fractal. Like, you'll find it makes sense when you're learning when you're learning a new subject, do you realize your knowledge of math has helped you to understand because it has a similar structure?
Oh, yes.
So it's like, that's what I mean by, like, the fractal nature of things. It's like, once I learn something, the next thing I learn usually that has given me some kind of a foundation, and now I understand it's like, oh, this is like that in the other subject, and I can understand new things better. So it says here, in an education-free market, parents are the customers. If they're not satisfied... Oh, I already read that part.
Oh, hold on. I just want to say, an education-free market. So is that an education-free market, or is it an education-free market?
It's a free market for education.
Okay, thank you. I was like...
Sounds funny, yeah.
Yeah, where's the comma?
Or a hyphen. Education free market. It says, it's perhaps because the true accountability in the education system is so rare that when it does occur, schools dying off, it can prompt concern. That was the case with a new micro school in West Virginia that shuttered after just a few months in operation. Parents weren't happy with their children's program, so they demanded and received a refund, and the school was closed. It was an example of the market working well, not poorly. As the Nobel Prize-winning economist Friedrich Hayek wrote in The Road to Serfdom, our freedom of choice in a competitive society rests on the fact that if one person refuses to satisfy our wishes, we can turn to another. Beautiful.
Please don't tell me you read The Road to Serfdom.
I tried to, and that was so confusing.
It is so boring. I tried reading it, and I just said, oh, no, if you can read A Road to Serfdom and get through it, you're more of a nerd than I am.
That was one that I kept seeing when I first became a libertarian, so I was like, okay, I'll just read that one. I don't know why I chose it over, like, a Rothbard book or anything, but that's what I chose. I was like, yeah, no way. I can't pay attention. This is so confusing. But I did listen to Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. That one's
That's the one I recommend, yes.
And it's really easy to understand and digest. Like, I should probably listen to it again. I never, like, sat down and read it.
Another one is Peter Schiff's How an Economy Grows and Why It Crashes.
I don't like him. I like him. But he also made me not buy Bitcoin in 2017, so.
Oh, okay.
He's a gold bug.
Got some bad info there. Sorry.
So silly. Just like gold and Bitcoin can coexist together. But we have Sarah from New Mexico on the line. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Yes. I just want to say that they had our sheriff, John Allen, wants to really go after the drag racers and speeders.
What did he do to them?
Well, recently had another, some kid was 19 drag racing and they killed somebody. Of course, I think they're going to raise the fine or something from $100 to $1,000. And, I mean, he talked about maybe taking away their property or taking away their cars or something.
If they kill someone, don't they go to prison if they kill someone with a car?
Yes, that would be vehicular manslaughter.
A $1,000 fine.
Yeah, I mean, before they kill somebody, I'm talking about if they catch them drag racing, if they're speeding like 100 miles, 95 miles, and they're drag racing with them. What they do around here is that they have cars that block all of the four intersections, one through four. People can't drive, and they do donuts in the middle of it at 12 midnight for fun.
That
kind of
sounds fun.
That's scary to me.
That's what goes on here in Albuquerque, and they drag race. And so if they catch them, that's what they're going to do.
Hang on, Sarah, if you have more to say about that. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. You can call in about whatever is on your mind, clearly. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA News Update. Six charges against former President Trump and other defendants in the Georgia election interference case have been dropped. Georgia Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee dismissed charges related to solicitation of violation of oath by a public officer while keeping the remaining 41-count indictment intact. Around 100 million U.S. TikTok users could have to find a new way to occupy hours of their time as the House has approved a bill that may lead to the banning of the Chinese-owned app. Lawmakers expressed worries about the potential access of the Chinese government to the personal data of millions of Americans. In the race for California's next senator, Democratic Representative Adam Schiff has been surpassed by Republican Steve Garvey in the latest count. Garvey leads by just under 5,000 votes, with 85% of the ballots counted. Both candidates are expected to advance to November, vying for the seat left vacant by Dianne Feinstein. John Schaefer, USA News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Is the number to call to get in line to speak your mind, 603-283-6160. We're going to go back to the phones in a second, but Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
TJ the Spy.
And Nikki.
And Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you had told us in the last segment that there's a mayor of your town in Albuquerque that apparently is cracking down on racers on the streets.
Sheriff John Allen, he's our sheriff in the county, and they finally want to do something about speeders. And it sounds like we're going to be getting more speeding cameras, and they're going to give out more tickets, you know, and so forth. But yeah. So,
Sarah, I just think we've had this conversation so many times to explain to you. We don't really think it'll be effective, and all it's doing is ruining people's lives.
Well, you know what I've always seen? They talk about a good storm. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And it's always the same thing. I mean, it's never changed. I don't get excited about it. They say they're going to ticket. They're going to put more speeding camera. They're going to get after the, but what comes out of it? It's always, just wait next week. Somebody else is going to get T-boned and killed.
Well, it seems to me, Sarah, like these laws aren't really making a big difference, is it? Are they?
I
making
I,
things I don't more know, illegal but, doesn't really seem to stop crime.
I just don't know. You know, that's why I'm bringing it up. I mean, if they're really going to do something about it, do something about it. Why just talk about it and then they're going to do something and then nothing happens? It's really frustrating here in New Mexico because they don't really do any enforcement. But the good thing about it is they want to do something more preventative. You know, this whole talk about, well, charge the people after they kill somebody, after they really caused the crime, after they broke somebody's neck and a T-bone, well, and then put them in jail. I mean, it has nothing, it doesn't stop anybody in the future from drag racing. All those kids, 18, 19, they're going to still drag race no matter, I mean, these people that go, they see these people that are put in jail. I think they get released, and they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep speeding because that doesn't stop anything.
I think it's interesting you're just figuring this out, Sarah, but we've told you this for a long time, and thank you for the call, but we've told you this for a long time that these laws that catch people after the fact don't do anything. We've told her a million times that these red light cameras that catch people speeding after the fact don't change anything, and she's just now figuring it out. But do you have another caller, or did you guys have anything to say about that to Sarah?
No. I'd rather not.
So we do have another caller on the line. We have Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, what's on your mind?
Well, on 7 November 1938, a 17-year-old gentleman by the name of Herschel Greenspan, he had a bone to pick with the German government because they deported his parents from Germany to Poland. And so he had moved to France. So he walked into the German embassy in Paris and asked to speak to a diplomat. And when a diplomat came out, a gentleman by the name of Ernst von Rath, the 17-year-old boy got shot and mortally wounded the diplomat. And this led to reprisals that the Nazis in Germany, they didn't like that, and they welcomed this excuse for retaliation against the Jews, you see, because the Jews shot the diplomat. One Jewish boy shot a diplomat, and so that's the first part of the real nasty stuff was Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, where the cops in plain clothes went and smashed a lot of store windows and stuff like that. But that's not the way it works in America. Let me tell you the difference between Nazi Germany and America. Now, on 14 February of 2018, a 19-year-old man walked into Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, and he carried out a mass shooting. And in America, they don't deal with mass shootings by reprisals and retaliation against everybody who happens to be the same religion as the person who commits the homicides. That was down in Florida where the attack happened. The Rhode Island legislature, mega meters away, passed a law banning the sale of guns to people younger than 21 because the man who carried out the attack was 19.
Okay, what's your point here? I'm getting really lost.
In America, they don't go picking on a particular religion because somebody of that religion went out and did something wrong. They pick on age groups instead. That's the difference between Nazi Germany and America. When there were a lot of homicides committed on the highway, the government decided, let's pick on people under 21 and inflict the drinking age on them, the reprisal against it.
Yeah, it does happen a lot that way in the United States, and it is pretty sad. Like, younger people, younger than, like, 18, have a lot fewer rights than people who are just a couple years older than them, and they don't even get to vote. Not that, like, that's actually a great thing to get to vote, but...
Yeah, 18, you're old enough to serve your country and die for your country, but you're not old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Well, the other part of that is, let's just say that they dealt with the homicides on the road by passing tougher laws against drunk driving. Just for example, a 30-day minimum jail sentence, first offense DWI, just for example, then the politicians, when they get caught, they'd have to do 30 days. But it's a lot easier to inflict the drinking age on somebody else. And it's the people under 21 committed all these homicides, kind of like the Jews shot a diplomat in German embassy in Paris on 7 November 1938 as an excuse to, they're using somebody's homicide as an excuse to punish innocent people.
That is a really great point, Tom. Thank you for the call tonight. His whole point that basically it's not much different to target everybody of an age just for one person's crime than it is to target everybody of a race for one person's crime.
I didn't think that was where the drinking age came in, though. Like, I didn't think that was the reason.
Oh, because there was a lot of homicides? I had no idea. I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was just like something they
came
up with after.
Or whatever.
I thought they just came up with it after.
Because I know it changed
because prohibition.
So my mom will tell a story. She has a lot of siblings, right? So I forget. I'm trying to remember which way it went. But for a while, the drinking age was 18, right? So then by the time her sister came of age, like she was about to turn 18. Then they switched it to 21. You know what I mean? So it was,
whoa,
whatever.
I didn't know it was that recent.
So I think, I'm trying to remember exactly how it went. Now I'm confusing myself.
That happened
but
to a lot
I
of
think
people
basically,
with cigarettes.
Basically what it was, I think they might have, like, momentarily changed it to 18 and then back to 21 or something. I have no clue. But basically, like, her and her sister were different ages, but they basically got to, like, they were legally allowed to drink at the same time because of the age changing.
And by the way, there's no federal law that says the drinking age is 21.
It's state law?
It's set up to the states, and most states have set it to be 21 because it's a condition of getting federal highway money. If you want to receive federal highway money for the interstates, you have to have a drinking age of 21 or over.
It's just so silly that they're allowed to have a law like that, considering like nothing about alcohol or drinking is in the Constitution, and every
Hold on. There is something. Well, it's in the Bill of Rights. There's something about drinking. In the
Bill of that?
The amendment against alcohol, is it the 18th and the 21st?
Oh, the prohibition and then they 19th. Got rid of it?
18th is the women's rights, so.
Yeah, that was, the suffrage.
No, I think 19th, you're right. 19th is, like, slaves, right?
No, that would be the 14th.
Okay, whatever. Okay, what does it say about alcohol? It's the prohibition and then they got rid of it?
They got rid of it, yes. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there's now nothing in the Constitution about alcohol, so you would think, every right not enumerated to the...
You're going to go all Eighth Amendment on us.
Yeah. is given to the states, but they can manipulate, like what you were just saying. Like, you want federal money? Well, you have to make this law. Yeah. That's pretty dirty.
And New Hampshire, I mean, to their credit, they refused because they got into a little kerfuffle with the National Highway Transportation Safety Board over the seatbelt law. All 49 other states have mandatory seatbelt laws. New Hampshire is the only state that does not have a mandatory seatbelt law.
So are they missing out on some perks and benefits?
I imagine there's. It's kind of like the Real ID Act snit that went on because some states said, we're not going to comply with this Real ID mandate. And the federal government said, fine, your IDs are not going to be allowed to let you on the plane. And so it just created, it's wonderful. I love watching government agencies bicker with each other. Like, I'd rather have them fighting each other than fighting with us.
Right. I agree. Like, right now, Utah is fighting the feds with, they're putting in this law where they're going to say, like, anything that, any federal law they don't like, they can refuse to enforce, but there is like a little clause in it saying, but the feds are allowed to enforce it in the state.
Yes.
Which I guess they can't really stop.
Well, I would say like that would be a way to end the war on drugs, saying, look, if you guys want to enforce the war on drugs so bad, we're not going to help you. But the DEA, if they had to go out and arrest every single drug dealer, they wouldn't have enough manpower. They depend on the state police and the local police to do the heavy lifting for them.
Right. Isn't that kind of what Colorado did?
Colorado for weed or for...
For weed, yeah.
They passed a ballot initiative back in 2012, legalizing it. And so under the Interstate Commerce Clause, remember, when Congress has the authority to regulate the commerce amongst the sterile states. So if weed is grown in the state of Colorado and sold in the state of Colorado and ultimately consumed in the state of Colorado, it doesn't affect interstate commerce because it never leaves the state. So that's why weed is legal in the state of Colorado as long as it never leaves the state of Colorado. But that's why you can't have weed from one state grown and shipped to another state. You can't have like a nationwide brand for cannabis because of that. And so That's all I have to say about
that. There's a guy from New Jersey doing that anyways, though. Like, flying in the face of that, I guess, because there's a... I wish I knew what it was called. I can't remember right now. There's a website. A guy in New Jersey sells weed online and will ship it to you. And so far he has been...
It's kind of like Silk Road, but, you know, a little smaller scale.
Yeah, and just like he's doing it out in the open. Ian has talked about it a lot on the show, and I shouldn't have even brought up because I don't remember the freaking name of it now.
But there was something about mushrooms, too. Like, people were getting hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Are you talking about the guy in Canada who was just, or maybe it is the same guy that sells weed. He's now
There's several different, like, mushroom chocolate brands.
Hmm. It's weird how they, like, pick and choose who they go after.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, yeah, but there's, because I know my, somebody was telling me that they were, like, just ordering them online. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? That's not sketchy or anything?
Yeah.
It might be sketchy, I don't know.
And Denver decriminalized psilocybinic mushrooms, so you
just
can't,
Denver, not, like, all of Colorado?
Not all of Colorado. Colorado mm-hmm. Springs would be a tough sell, because they're very conservative down there with the Air Force Academy.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That there was, like, a conservative part of Colorado. I always thought it was, like, all...
Oh, yeah. Well, pretty much anything that isn't Denver or Boulder.
What about South Park?
Is that a real place?
Is it?
No.
I assumed it wasn't.
I've been all over Colorado. I don't think there's a South Park anywhere.
I'll fact check this for us.
Yeah, I guess I just assumed it was fake, and that's why I made the joke like that. But in other news, and, yeah, do tell us what you find. Canadian doctors admit COVID booster shot paralyzed a woman... offer to euthanize her to make up for it.
How bad is her HMO?
So that does sound like a South Park episode.
It does.
But South Park is not a real place in Colorado.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I guess I just assumed that, but I didn't know for sure. This says, Canadian doctors have admitted that a COVID booster shot from Moderna is responsible for a young Ontario woman now being paralyzed for the rest of her life, which the admission alone is, like, pretty interesting. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't think they'd admit that. 37-year-old mother Kayla Pollock is now paralyzed from the neck down. Oh, that's way worse than even, like, from the waist down.
A quadriplegic, yes.
After receiving the mRNA injection, it says her life has become a living hell. It's terrible. Oh, my God, it's horrible. According to a report from... the Liberty Daily, however, doctors have offered to, quote, make up for it by euthanizing the young mom.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad HMO. Way screwed up. We can
kill
you.
So what is that? What is a HMO?
It's a health care type of...
health maintenance.
Oh, I mean,
health maintenance organization. That's where you go to your primary care for your most of the thing, and if they think you need more, they'll refer you to a specialist. And that's different than a PPO, which is a preferred provider organization.
We're going to send you to our death specialist.
Yeah, but they don't have... I mean, it's just universal health care in Canada, right? Don't they have that model? So that's why. Oh, my gosh. It's almost like when the government is the only provider of a service... they just murder you instead of actually providing you with that service.
Yeah, you might be expensive for the rest of your life.
I hate to be the one to bring up, like, again with math, but we have so many old people going into nursing homes. We do not have the space. We do not have the personnel.
Sure
don't. My dad died of Alzheimer's 5 years ago, and mom said, oh, I thought we were because we were cash pay. We were paying $7,500 a month, and we were begging within a 200-mile radius, every nursing home, we can't take them. We don't have room. And so that was kind of scary. If it was like, wow, you know, Dad might not have a place to go.
What year did you say that was?
That was in 2018.
Okay.
Or it was 2017 when he went to the nursing home.
I mean, and it's just going to get worse with the baby boomers.
Yes. And so I said something's going to give here because, you know, I imagine these – my father-in-law is a urologist, and he jokes that at the in the nursing homes, every time a patient moans, they give them a fentanyl patch for the pain.
Oh my goodness.
And they just keep loading them up with fentanyl patches until they die peacefully of a fentanyl overdose.
Oh my God.
But it's kind of true. Like, I've seen in nursing homes, like, it was a huge thing with, like, my grandmother when she was in the nursing home. Like, they were over-medicating her. And it was like, I obviously, like, I'm a nurse, so I know, like, what an appropriate dose would be. So, but yeah, it was a whole thing where they were just giving her a ton of Seroquel, and it, like, made her...
What's that?
It's a sleeping medication, but they can also use it
like Ambien, like that bad?
No, it's different than Ambien.
Quintiapine. So I've always thought of it as antipsychotic. So
it is also like for anxiety, agitation. Okay. So at a low dose, like 50 milligrams, you would use Seroquel like throughout the day, and that would work for somebody. It wouldn't make them too tired. Hmm. They were giving her. It was like something crazy, like 400 or 500 milligrams, which is like, I mean, I flipped out.
I don't want to deal with her. This will just make her go lay down and leave us alone.
But it also does have the side effect where if you over-medicate somebody with it, it will make them, like, it will increase agitation and confusion, which was the effect it was having on her. And essentially,
she would, like, yell at you for no reason.
Yeah, like, she just got, like, super confused towards the end and was, like, very lethargic and... So I've seen this, and I've worked in nursing homes myself. I mean, I was a CNA nurse in a nursing home, and it's just a lot of it. Like, there is, like, comfort meds, right? So it's like we don't want people to, like, be in pain, and, you know, a lot of the people benefit from some of these anxiety meds.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of over-medication that happens in nursing homes just because it makes people easier to deal with. And in the case of my grandmother, it was hard for me to think, like, are they trying to kill her? I mean, like, the dose they were giving her was so high. I was like, literally, are you trying to kill her?
Well, I think the government might actually start having death camps for old people because, you know, they're like, we can't afford to pay for the nursing care. We just don't. It's if we had the money, which we don't, but if we did have the money, we'd have the problem if we don't have the space, we don't have the people.
Well, it's a huge staffing issue even right now.
Yeah, that's why I asked you what year. I was like, it's just only going to get worse because, like you said, baby boomers are a huge generation. There was a bunch of them. And then there are also way fewer nurses since COVID because people were overstressed out, given crazy conditions under which they had to work and nobody wanted to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, being a nurse or a CNA, it's, like, literally the worst place you can work is a nursing home. Like, the worst pay, everything, you know, like, the worst working conditions. So a nurse, like, if you're a registered nurse or you have a bachelor's degree, I mean, like, you're going to want to work in a hospital or, like, anywhere else.
That's why it's so dumb when Sarah says in communism people will just do from the goodness of their heart all of the jobs for the same exact pay. Like,
they won't.
They'll do the job for the fear of not, they don't want to be shot. So, like, it's, you know, the Soviet Union was, it's kind of comical when you think about, like, these were our adversaries that we feared.
Hmm.
And I think they're doing the same thing now with Russia. It's like, didn't we win the war against the Soviet Union? And now we have the war against Russia. Do they just change the name of the country and we go back to war with them again?
Also, apparently China is doing really, really badly because of communism. I just don't know how much of that is like some sort of propaganda. I'm not there.
I don't know. Like, speaking of the Soviet Union, like, what did they do with elderly people?
Would you want to be an old person taken care of by a worker who was only doing the job because they were afraid of getting shot otherwise?
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the Soviet Union, like, they were just blatantly killing people.
Yes. Hmm.
They weren't even, you didn't even stand a chance.
The great purges from Stalin.
Didn't even stand a chance. You're disabled. You're old.
Hmm.
You can't work. Dead. I mean, they were throwing babies off of trains. Like, communists do not care about people.
That's morality.
Yeah, that's right.
True morality.
We're going to take care of everybody. It's going to be a communist paradise.
We're going to take care of ourselves, and then everybody else's lives turn crappy.
Yeah.
That's like Sarah said. So Sarah, the caller that was on earlier, she's also a communist, and she'll tell you that. And she said that in communism, it would be fine to take the people who had big businesses and put them away in jail forever or just kill them.
Well, she said that?
Yeah, we were talking about Trump, and I was like... So Trump has, like, a lot of money.
I didn't know that.
That was years ago that she said that.
That's wild.
It was, like, me and Ian and Arya.
Well, that's what the Nazis did. You know, they took all the Jews had the gold.
Yeah.
And so they, Ravensgeld, or I forgot, there's a word in German for stolen gold.
Huh.
But, you know, they basically, that's the reason they were targeted is because they had all the wealth.
Yeah, they had successful businesses.
And what I point out is the Jews who fled... They left all their wealth behind, and the Nazis confiscated it.
Mm-hmm.
They came over here to America, started over, and became very, very successful, by and large, on average. And that's just because the thing that's important in a person is not their wealth, their physical possession. It's the knowledge that's in their head and their ability to work.
Yeah, that's absolutely so true. It's like we were saying on a few shows ago, it was like a show with me and Jay and Mark Edge. Mark was saying any country that just would have said, we'll accept all the Jews into our country would be doing really well right now because they're, for the most part, like high IQ, good people.
Well, yeah, it's like a cultural thing, right? Okay. So, like, families, and, you know, you see it with, like, families who value education. They're really into bringing up successful, knowledgeable, like, well-balanced children, right? Like, cultures that have an emphasis on that, of course they're going to be more successful. Of course they are going to do better. I mean, that just makes sense.
I don't think it even has to have anything to do with race. Like, hopefully in the future, people are saying that kind of thing about free staters. Like, they don't all have to be the same race at all.
Right, it's a culture.
It's a culture being created
by
the new parents here. That'd be a really great thing. We kind of got off topic from this lady. It's a really sad thing. It's just, it's a lesson in universal health care. They are in Canada offering to euthanize people if they mess up and paralyze them.
And also, like, don't get me wrong, I do think that as human beings, we should have the choice to euthanize. Like, if I'm terminally, not even terminally ill, if I don't want to live anymore, like, it's my life, like, I deserve the freedom to make that choice. But to just, like, offer, I mean, like, they're offering it to homeless people, drug addicts, anyone that is any sort of disabled. It's just, like, they're really, like, offering it all willy-nilly, you know what I mean? Like, to me, that should be something that isn't really incentivized at all. Like, it's just, the patient should have to request that service. That shouldn't be offered to them. Like, to me, that's, like, in poor taste. It's like, oh, I see that you're disabled now. Would you like to die? Like, that's crazy to me.
And the source here was playnews.com, by the way, if anyone wants to look into that. This has been Free Talk Live. You can learn more at freetalklive.com. Thanks for listening, and peace.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.